action super stud Frank Grillo, who's playing Lamborghini, by the way, coming up, is going to join me in the first half. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man?
What is a man?
What is a no? What is the, are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No. I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Today, Adam sits down one-on-one, times two, with Michael Mann and Frank Grillo. And now, if hindsight is 2020, his foresight is 2010. Adam Carolla.
Get it on. Got to get on the church. We got on mandate. Get it on. And welcome to the program. We're going to do a couple of one-on-one interviews. We'll start with Frank Grillo. Paradise Highway is the name of the movie. And then we'll get into Michael Mann, who will be in the second half. Ironically, talk to Michael Mann, who's in Italy right now shooting the Ferrari feature. And Frank worked on Lamborghini. So it's going to be a lot of hot Italian car talk going on. Good to see you, Frank.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because after our conversation, knowing you own those mirrors, I got to drive one of the original ones. And every time I talk about the movie, somehow you pop into my head because we had such an intense conversation about those cars.
Well, I'll circle back and tell you why I was early money on those cars at some point in this conversation. I think we should hit Paradise Highway first, and then we'll take that highway to Lamborghini at some point. See what I did there? In theaters and on demand as you hear this out now. Morgan Freeman's in this, and a lot of recognizable faces. I just watched the trailer. Action-packed. So let's talk about that. Where'd you film it?
We filmed that in Mississippi where Morgan lives. So if you want Morgan in your movie, you go to where Morgan is.
You got to bring the mountain to Morgan, I guess, as the Bible would say. Had you worked with Morgan Freeman before?
We've been in the same another movie before, but we've never worked together. We really didn't work together in this either. We were supposed to do a movie together. So I'm hoping, you know, before I leave the planet, I get to work with the guy.
Your path to stardom is interesting because we're about the same age. You've been knocking around for a long time playing heavies and brothers and, you know, not leading men. And then all of a sudden, just very recently, or at least it feels that way to me, you've come into your own at the ripe old age of mid-50s. How did that – what is that?
I'll tell you what I think it is. I could be totally wrong, and I'll probably get chastised for saying this. But I think what's happened is in this business, in this time – we've lost a lot of, what we would consider men. I think you know, being a man has become a difficult thing in the world. And I think people just kind of see me as, you know, I've been around, I know how to do the job, and I'm fairly authentic as a man. And I think it's just a timing thing, and it's served me in this genre that I've been working in.
Well, you know, I've always said, I was just saying to Dr. Drew yesterday, because he always goes, where are we heading? Where are we heading? And as a society. Yeah. And I always go, look, safe space is an octagon. So for every safe space and a college campus, a new martial arts dojo will open up. And for every Prius or Tesla that's sold, somebody's buying a Jeep and putting brush guards on it and a lift kit and knobbies, you know. And for every softening of a male role and a cisgender, transgender, here are my pronouns person, that gives way to, we want some kick-ass dudes. Like there's
right, exactly right.
It's like for every piece of, for every kale salad sold, there's two corn dogs sold. There's some.
Brother, you're so, listen, I just bought a 1971 refurbished Bronco with a 5.0 liter Coyote engine. Cost me more than my Range Rover.
Yes.
And it makes a lot of noise and drinks a lot of gas. And I'm not going to be very popular in my West Hollywood neighborhood, but you know, those are the things that excite me. So you're right. And I think that's kind of, I think I'm the Bronco of actors.
That's good.
In Hollywood.
That's good.
And I think we need, look, I, again, not always the most popular person in the room, but I have three sons and I raised them in kind of a stoic way. Like, I make them read Marcus Aurelius and Seneca and I live my life a certain way, and I'm not going to acquiesce because other people feel at the moment that I should be something else.
Well, it is an interesting time we're living in, and guys like you and I who've been there and done that, and who have had football coaches kick the shit out of you and had,
right,
you know, had teachers backhand you and had foremen, yeah, on construction sites, you know, tell you, call you a pussy. And, you know, I had my foreman on a construction site would say, but imagine doing this today. He told me once, he goes, go to my truck, get my 4 foot level. I said, yeah, okay. Started walking towards truck. He goes, hey, run. And I started running. Could you imagine? You get sued out of existence, right? That'd be a hate crime.
No, I know. Listen, my old man was my foreman. Like, my old man, you know, he was a construction guy I worked for. I was a laborer. I mean, the abuse that I took,
yes,
from my old man, you know.
People don't realize on a construction site, it's not enough that the laborers just dig ditches all day and demo out stucco and drag stuff that's covered in asbestos without a mask, you know, up to a dumpster. They also are verbally and emotionally abused.
All day.
It was like you'd say to one of these guys, I got to go, hey, do you know where the cat's paw is? And they'd go, if it was in your ass, you'd know where it was. That's not helpful. I'm getting $7 an hour, and I'm sweating my ass off out here. Can you tell me where the goddamn crowbar is?
Well, I was going to say, what's funny is those days that I thought were miserable, I longed for. And, like, you know, the places that I tend to live my life, which is my gym with my guy, Justin Fortune, inside that gym is that same world.
Right.
That if anybody from the outside would come in there and listen to how we talk, they would melt. They couldn't believe it. But it's all done in the same vein of ball busting that you did on the job when you were at the construction site.
Yeah. People don't realize it's sort of like when people try to coach you up or go, here's how you do this, which is all that was, here's how you do this job.
Right.
When that stops, it means that people stop caring. You know, I think there's this new thing where everyone's going, hey, get out of my face, or I know what I'm doing, or whatever. It's like that person who's older than you that knows more than you is telling you what to do, even though they're not saying, I care about you. That's the act. that's transpiring. And the day they just leave you alone and watch you do it the wrong way and walk past you and don't open their mouth, that's the day they're done with you. And you should never.
Yeah, you're doomed.
Yes. And I know it feels like they're hassling you, but it's the day they stop hassling you is the day you got to worry about.
Exactly right. And you know, it's like raising kids.
Right.
You know, my kids roll their eyes every time I say something to them. And it's the, you know, it's I'm telling you this probably to save your life, dum-dum. And I know you resent it at the moment, but you'll figure it out.
Well, now we got to transition from rolling their eyes to you rolling your R's, doing your Federucci Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer, by the way. It was killer. So it's interesting, and just so people know, and it is funny that our next guest, Michael Mann, is in Italy working on Ferrari, which he'd been working on that story for 25 years, literally. But there's a couple things that are interesting about Lamborghini, and then you tell us what you learned through playing the man. You know, Ferrari inspired Lamborghini by being kind of a douche to Lamborghini. Yep. And Ferrari inspired Ford to create the GT40 by being douchey to Ford. So not only is Ferrari responsible for Ferrari, but in a weird way, we have Lamborghinis, we have Aventadors and Countaches and Muras because of Ferrari, and we have the Ford GT because of Ferrari. So
who beat him? I mean, you know, they beat him.
So, in the
sense of Ford. The genesis of the story of the movie of, you know, because Lamborghini's a very successful tractor manufacturer. He made amazing Lamborghini tractors. They still do.
You can find them. They have vintage ones out there as well.
Yeah.
You can find old Porsche tractors as well if you guys collect.
Yeah, I drove one of the Lambo tractors. Ferruccio Lamborghini, once he became wealthy, he bought a Ferrari for every day of the week. He was obsessed with Ferraris. And all he knew was that these clutches and these brakes would wear out in a ridiculous amount of time. And he had his Lambo tractor mechanics retrofit the stuff from the tractors to the Ferraris, and it worked. And he had this, you know, light bulb idea that he would go to Ferrari and they would join forces and Lamborghini would help Ferrari. And Ferrari, you know, it's legend, told him, you're a peasant tractor, go make your tractors.
Right.
Which is what Gabriel Byrne, who plays Ferrari, basically told me in the movie. And that sets the guy off into his journey of making cars.
Yeah, it's so funny. So my relationship with Lamborghinis is everyone grew up remembers the poster with the Countach and the big hair band videos and all that, but they don't know what happened sort of pre-Countach and how he started. And I remember being so every year, and you should put this on your bucket list, because we're getting ready to go. Every year you go to Monterey for the car week. I bring Paul Newman's race car and we race all weekend. And at some point you also end up down on Pebble Beach on the lawn seeing all the beautifully restored cars. But they have the Italiano Concourse. And the Italiano Concourse is like Friday afternoon or something in between races. It's like a golf course near the track. So we go there. They have all Italian cars, you know, Alfa Romeos, Ferraris, everything. And I went, this is about 15 years ago, I went to the Lamborghini section and I was like, hey, they got a Countach over there, got a Mura. And then I saw the 350, which is his first car, and the 400 2+2. And I was like, what is this? What is this? Because for me, my knowledge stopped. It's like being an NFL player and not knowing that Mike Ditka played in the league. You think he started as a coach, you know? And I was like, what is this? And it's a 350 GT. It's his first car. And I was like, what? It's a smallish looking car, sleek, modern looking, really cool.
Yeah.
And it's got a V12. I'm like, it's got a V12. I thought it'd have a straight six or four bangers. No, it's a V12. I went home. I went on eBay and I bought a 2+2 on eBay, a 400, the next car he built, out of Pennsylvania for like $115,000, sight unseen. And then I bought a 350. Then I've owned two Isleros, three Muras, two 400 GTs, and one 350, which is his first car. I don't have them all
the very
today.
First
car.
Wow. Wow. That 350, he kind of poached a lot of car companies for their talent, engineers. And I think Pininfarina designed that body, if my memory serves me. And it is an understated Lambo by any stretch of the imagination when you see his other cars. I got to drive the one that was in the Geneva Auto Show that he put in, was his first car.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a $35 million euros is at this point. I literally had guards around me when I got in the car.
Yeah, because of the value of the car.
I was so impressed with that car because when you think about the Lambos now and you think about that car, then he made the Mura, which people say is the most beautiful sports car ever made. And I was in that, the yellow one, which is in the poster. I was in that car. And then he lost the company. Then that was it. That was kind of it after the Countach.
Oh, really?
And his son inherited the company and then dismantled it because he hated his father.
Wow. I didn't know that part.
Yeah. I mean, the son was on set with me. Now he's in his late 70s, early 80s. And there was fire in his eyes every time he saw me act and be his father. Like, it was like a palpable thing. And I was like, hey, man, I'm just an actor.
Wow.
But it was a real, the father left him everything. And he pretty much dismantled the whole, because he felt like the car was the reason his mother and Ferruccio, broke up. It's really interesting. Really interesting story. Because the movie's based on the book that the son wrote.
It's an interesting, I don't know, metaphor, allegory, or something, just in life. And the thing I've certainly learned is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And if you take a look at something like the Lamborghini story, just metaphorically, forget about being a car guy. You go, this guy got successful. He made tractors. Then he bought Ferraris. They didn't work right. So he built his own car. He built some real innovative cars of beauty. People would say the Mura, probably the first supercar. So incredibly, had a, if you think about the technology of the time, built his first one in 68, built the P in 68, the S came along in 69, 70, then the SV, which is kind of the big mothership. I had two S's and an SV at some point.
Jesus.
But it was a transverse mounted mid-engine V12, aluminum heads, aluminum block, four-way disc, independent, transaxle. It was technologically insane and beautiful. So he starts off life. He builds some of the most beautiful cars ever created. Then at some point, it starts to get finny and kind of flabby and kind of plasticky and kind of 80s'd out. And, everything went to hell, like women's hair or architecture or whatever. Everything just got fucked up in the 80s.
Yeah.
And now
he was gone by then.
Right.
He was gone.
And now
he's out of the company by then.
But as a company, now it's 2022 and Lamborghini's putting out some of the coolest shit on the planet. So it's never over. You know what I mean? It's just cycles and ups and downs and everything.
It is a great story. The guy was a genius. He drove his engineers, who were at the time were the best in the business. He paid everybody well and he poached the best in the business. He drove these engineers crazy because he had the vision that these engines and the things that shouldn't be able to work, that they could, that he could do it. And he made them nuts, but he made them successful at it. And that's kind of the great thing about this guy. But he was a sad story. It was a sad story, though. His personal life, like many geniuses, many great men, you can't be Lamborghini and create all of that. He also had an air conditioning and refrigeration company that was the biggest in Italy.
Wow.
So this guy was an industrialist. Yeah. But how could then you be a great father and a great husband? You know,
well,
he also loved women.
Well, you know, as I think about it, it's kind of interesting. It has to go this way because
right.
Guys who are gifted, maybe they got a little dusting of Asperger's or whatever it is. They become obsessed with things and whatever like that. All the woman wants is to be hugged and told she held and told she's special. You know what I mean? Right. And these guys have a head full of calculations and deadlines and right. engineering reports. It could never be the same person. Women mistakenly believe they could have both. They think I'm going to have this guy as a genius over here, and he's an engineer, and he's a raconteur, and every night he'll be home by 9, and we'll spoon.
That's the story. By the way, Mira Sorvino plays my wife, and that's the story. She's like, why are you chasing these cars? You have a tractor. We have everything we could possibly want. And he looks at her like, boy, she just doesn't get it, does she? You know, it's like, and I'm just, you know, paraphrasing, but that was the story of their life. It's like, what is he going to do with her? What, at some point something's got to give, and it wasn't going to be his dream. Which is just, you know, a great man, accomplished great things. Was he a great father? No. Was he a great husband? No. So does that make him a bad man?
Well,
and that's what the story is about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the idea that your name is on a name badge of some of the most beautiful cars ever created, meaning the son's last name, it's got to be worth a couple of points. I got Corolla, but it's a shitty car and it's spelled differently, so it doesn't – but it's something, you know. What is your –
a shitty car, but sold a lot of units.
A lot of units. Stamps.com. Drop what you're doing and run to the post office. Well, that's a pain in the butt, especially – if you're trying to run a small business, use Stamps.com, the 24/7 post office you can access anywhere. I've used it here for 12 years plus. We ship merch and books and paperwork. It's always Stamps.com. Plus, exclusive discounts like 30% off USPS rates and 86% off UPS rates. So whether you're an office sending invoices, an Etsy shop sending products, or warehouse shipping order, Stamps.com is your solution. Sign up with the promo code Adam for your special offer, including a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. The scale's great. It's digital. I think it goes up to 80 pounds, so you're covered. Stamps.com. Click the microphone at the top of the page and enter Adam. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Concrete, your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet. But most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods. And that's where Concrete comes in. Patented creatine, HCL. It's the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. Drew swears by the stuff. I do it every morning. You will feel the difference. It's the number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds. Shake it up, drink it down. It tastes good. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell, and your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. So get on track with Concrete. Am I right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. Available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing. Adam Carolla's sixth book and audiobook. Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies. Dear Adam, should you answer, and if so, how, your wife if she says, if I ever agreed to a threesome, which one of my friends would you choose? Ray Romano.
She's got you painted into a corner. This is the wife's version of the cop asking, have you been drinking tonight? There's no acceptable response. A cop is not going to believe, I just had a beer after work. In the same way, your wife is not going to believe, no, honey, I only have eyes for you. Try to avoid the question. But if she insists, then you have to answer, I'm not going to tell you which of your friends I'd like to have a threesome with. That's just going to get me in trouble. So I'll tell you the one I wouldn't want to have a threesome with. Cynthia. She gives horrible head.
Everything Reminds Me of Something. Available now. Wherever finer books are sold.
Frank, you're, let's see, I saw you in Jay Leno's garage, and it's such a phenomenal shape all the time. And I know you do jiu-jitsu, and you've done a lot of boxing and wrestled starting at a young age. And I know that's all plays a big part in your acting and your physicality. But what is your regimen? Yep. I always ask the guys that are in phenomenal shape, what is kind of the breakfast, lunch, and dinner? What do you do? Give us a schedule.
Yeah. So on the daily, and this is even when I'm on location, on the daily, I basically wake up at 6 a.m. I'm in the gym with my trainer, who's Justin Fortune, who trains Manny Pacquiao. I go through what would be a professional fighter's regime every day. That includes strength and conditioning. I eat, I'm not kidding. I eat maybe once a day, midday. I'm a paleo guy. I eat meat and fish and vegetables, mostly just meat and fish. And I go to sleep by 10 o'clock, you know. My one vice is I like to drink French rosé. Other than that, I've never smoked. I've never done cocaine. Just I'm kind of a boring dude. I raise my kids and I work. And people kind of make fun of me for work. Like, you know, you're oversaturated. You're this, that. And I'm like, hey, man, it's either I work and take care of business or I sit at home and try to cultivate some weird career you think I should have. That's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't get the criticism of work, especially if your work is your passion, you know, then is it work?
Yeah, man.
But you can't
believe it.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. But did you, for me, I have an element of, I wasted a lot of time in my younger days, and I don't mean my youth. I just mean when I was 25, I was just driving around a Zuzu Trooper with sacks of ready mix cement in the back of it, going to some house in Reseda and putting up fence posts. You know, it wasn't exactly creatively a great use of my time. And I didn't get anywhere until I was 30, 31. You know, I really didn't make any inroads in the business. I was a carpenter, and I taught boxing as well. So I have a little feeling of like, I wasn't Britney Spears, you know, like I didn't hit when I was 16 and a half. I had 30 years of nothingness, of just sitting in the back of a class and staring up at the ceiling tile and counting the holes in it, you know. And now I have this element of, hey, let's make some hay while the sun is still shining. Do you have that sense?
It's, brother, you could have just described my life. You know, I really didn't start. I didn't get going until I was 29 or 30 or 31 years old. Same thing. And, I never expected, you know, to be at this age, to have all the opportunities that I have. Now, look, it's so funny because the last interview I just did, they said, you know, you've worked with so many people, you know, who would you love to work with? Michael Mann was one of the guys. I said, boy, it would be great to work with a guy like Michael Mann. And in any event, you know, so I'm here I am and I'm getting offered all these things for a great amount of dough. You know, I got two ex-wives and three kids and I love what I do. And what am I going to do? Say no for the sake of I'm the same way. I'm like, how much longer am I going to be able to do this?
Right.
Like, what am I, you know, and I'm, like you said, I'm not Colin Farrell who at, you know, 20 years old became Colin Farrell. I don't, it's like, good for you. It's that it didn't happen for me. That wasn't my life. So it's basically we're parallel. I'm talking, I'm the same way, man. I own a pizza place. I'm involved in a clothing company. I'm in the fitness business now. I'm like, I'm never, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to create stuff. And if somebody's given me the opportunity, why would I not want to take advantage of that?
Yeah, it's such a gift. And it is weird when people tell you to kind of slow your roll on what is a gift, a passion, and also what separates you from 99.999% of the world's population who's going to some shit job they hate, you know?
I know, man. I know. I don't get it. So, I mean, look, Sam Jackson has done 3,000 movies. Is he oversaturated? I don't think so. People like seeing Sam Jackson. So I'm like, you know, I'm not a believer in, first of all, I don't want it to sound like goofy, but, you know, I'm in Hollywood. I'm not of Hollywood. Like, it's not my life. Like Hollywood, the world of Hollywood, it's not my life. I kind of live here and I do this thing, but I also have other things I want to do, and being able to do these movies allows me to do those other things.
That's 100%. I was making, you know, $7 an hour on a construction site. I went there. God damn it. There used to be a exotic used car dealership in Van Nuys, California, off of Van Nuys Boulevard, right off the 101 freeway. And when I was making $7 an hour digging ditches, I went over there once and I looked at a black Lamborghini Miura. And I just remember staring at it through the window going, God damn, it's so low slung. It's so sexy. It's, you know,
right.
It's such a sexy shape, which transcends, you know, that's not like, well, sexy for the 60s. No, sexy for now, no. Sexy 10,000 right years from now, sexy 200 years ago, sexy in Jesus's time. It's all, it's just timelessly, it's, the, you know, Raquel Welch. You don't think she would hold up?
Exactly right.
Right. And I looked at that car, and at the time, they probably wanted $40,000 for it or something. And I just remember looking at it, I make $7 an hour and taxes are being taken out. Like, what are the chances I'll even get near a car like that? Like, I didn't even go into the dealer because it'd see me walking in with concrete dust on my jeans, you know, and they go, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, I wouldn't even go in. I would just look through the window. But I was like you. I was like, if I could make money doing something, then I could get one of these. One day, and that I want to get the money to do that. That was the plan.
That's the plan, right? So how do you kind of criminalize me for which I'm telling you, people tell me this all the time. You work too much. I'm like, in what world is that sentence? Does that make any sense?
Yes.
I mean, okay, I work too much, but guess what? I allow my family certain luxuries. And like you just described 22 cars that you own that are far more valuable than, I mean, it's amazing. You looked at that Miura and then you owned that Miura. I mean, when you think about the chances of that, Adam, you think about the probability that that could ever happen. It's not very likely, right?
I
want to stop the thing that could afford me a certain life. By the way, I'm starting to feel the mortality. I'm starting to feel, oh, wait a minute. This isn't going to last forever, is it? I mean, well, you know what I mean? If I look back 20 years, you know, I was 36 years old, 37 years old. Now I look 20 years forward. I don't even want to think about it.
I was driving home yesterday and I was like, a Norm Macdonald you know, friend of mine.
Yeah.
He's gone. Gilbert Godfrey, friend of mine. Oh, he's gone. Bob
Ray
Saget.
Ray Liotta.
Not a friend of mine.
Gone.
It hit me because we were sitting around on my podcast the other day and we were talking about old shows on MTV when I used to be on MTV. And it's like, oh, that show, Remote Control. Talking about, oh, yeah, Ken Ober used to host that show. Yeah, what happened to Ken Ober? He used to do radio out here. See him on Remote Control. He's dead. Died at 52. Santa Monica apartment.
Listen, that happens.
Yes, I mean, it happens.
That's what I'm talking about. So let me wait at home for the right role that you think is the right role for me. Everything will be fine. It'll be good.
And by the way, Paradise Highway is the name of the movie. Frank's a con, action packed, Morgan Freeman in it as well. Just a good, gritty story. Not a lot of special effects, not a lot of CGI, just real.
No, just Juliette Binoche, the great Juliette Binoche kind of leads the way. And it's her and I play brother and sister, and it has to do with sex trafficking. And I kind of play a simpleton, a little bit of adult, who's emotionally damaged. A little bit of a departure from me. But it was a chance to work with Juliette Binoche and Morgan Freeman and, those great names and have some fun. And it's a good picture.
Yeah, it is. Do you I'm thinking about your motor. I'm thinking about your creativity. I'm glad you've never done cocaine. Don't ever do cocaine. You will be the most you'll be the most obnoxious guy at the party. Frank Grillo beaked up on cocaine. Wanted to talk Lamborghini.
No, you don't know Joe Carnahan.
Oh no, yeah, I do. I do know Joe. You're right. Frank would be the second most obnoxious guy at the party. But all the endeavors. So what about creating, directing, writing, those endeavors.
Directing is the next thing on the plate. Like it's a time consuming endeavor. So I got a couple of movies that I'm going to do up until Christmas. One back in Italy, actually, and Lamborghini's going to the Rome Film Festival. So we're going to be out there for that. And then I'm looking to find something that I won't embarrass myself with and something that I can handle for my first time directing. Because a lot of these little movies that I do, Adam, are some of these directors are pretty green, and I wind up directing the film partially myself.
Yeah.
So I feel like between that and having been partners with Carnahan for 6 years now, I think I'm about ready to just dip my toe in that pool and check it out. I could suck at it. Who the fuck knows? But it's certainly something that in 2023, that's kind of on the list.
You are ostensibly directing from the other side of the camera if you've been acting for a long time, and you're sort of directing yourself when you're making choices, along the way. But anybody who's made some movies, I've made a few movies, you end up sort of especially if you write the movie or create the material, because if you create the material, the director's going, here's what we should do. And you go, no, here's what I was thinking when I wrote it. And you kind of de facto direct yourself. So I'd say
anyone
who's been direct, it's like you have a boxing coach, let's say. You're not a boxing coach, but you've been coached by a boxing coach for 20 years. You could be a good boxing coach tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And you don't quite have the 10,000 hours of actually being the coach, but you've been coached so much that you could coach. And it's, I would say the same with directing.
That's a great analogy. In fact, when I'm in the gym on sparring days, I'll be in the corner of these young fighters, young pros and stuff. And, Justin will be standing next to me, and I'll watch and I'll say, watch his feet when he throws that left hand, or he's thrown his jab and his hand's coming back to his waist. And so it's just a matter of, you're right. I don't have the 10,000 hours in as a coach, but I have the 10,000 in being coached.
Right.
And it is exactly the same thing. And now I've done 60 something movies. with, you know, with great directors that have Academy Awards and shitty directors who should never direct again. I've been in those movies too. And so you I've learned, you know, that's why I say I would love to go work with Michael Mann. I guarantee you Michael Mann's talent is hiring the right people. So he probably doesn't over direct anything. Do you know, he talks when he needs to.
No, and 100. Look, it's what Lamborghini did. You got to go poach the best engineers, the best fabricators, the best. You bring them over and you corral them, you coach them, you pay them. But that guy builds those Colombo engines and that guy shapes that aluminum and he gets the English wheel out and you let that guy do what he does. And then you put your name on the car and become the genius.
Listen, I remember one of the first, when I was in school, one of the first books I read that were like business oriented was Ted Turner's book. And that was kind of the crux of how he created his business, was just to hire a lot of people that were a lot fucking smarter than him and let them do their jobs.
Yeah.
And there you have it, you know?
I'll send you out. Let's see. I got a boxing movie for you to watch.
Great.
I got some car docs. Maybe you've seen them on Netflix, but I don't know. I'll send you out a care package.
I love it.
Got the Paul Newman racing doc. I don't know if you've seen it. We can send you that one out. Got Ford versus Ferrari, the doc. We can come send you out that one. All right, come on out. Yeah, come on out to the Valley. I'll show you a bunch of Paul Newman race cars.
Brother, I got to tell you something. If you're serious about invitation, I would love to come out and see what you got out there.
It's really crazy when you see the Paul Newman stuff, like sort of in the flesh, because it's
right.
Just.
And by the way, my favorite actor on the planet ever in the history of acting is Paul Newman.
Well, I don't know how tall you are, but you could try on.
I'm not very tall. Okay. I'm only 5'10".
Okay, 5'10". Good. We'll see if you can get into one of his fire suits.
Because he was like 5'8". He was a little guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably say 5'9", I guess. Okay. But he was kind of diminutive. Yeah. He wasn't a big guy, but we can suit you up. I also have one of Tom Cruise's fire suits too when he raced with Paul Newman, but that's gonna be too small for you.
Yeah, he's
all right, Frank, I'll hit you off the air because I'm probably 6 miles from where you are and you can come down and kick some tires if you want.
And I'm home. I'm literally home for the next 4 or 5 weeks, so I'd love to come down then.
Let's make it happen. The movie Paradise Highway, Frank Grillo. So good to speak to you, my friends. Always, always fun.
Always a pleasure, brother. Breath of fresh air.
I'll hit you off the air. And Michael Mann from Italy is coming up next.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.